The end of this holiday weekend will mark the start of a new approach to keeping tabs on potential terrorists. On Monday, the FBI opens a new terrorist screening center. The idea is to integrate a dozen different terrorist watch lists currently scattered across different government agencies. The FBI also hopes the effort will make it easier for citizens to find out why they sometimes get the third degree before boarding planes. But as NPR's Larry Abramson reports, the government may find it hard to put a public face on a process that has always been shrouded in mystery.
70-year-old Johnny Thomas often gets grilled when she goes to the airport because her name is similar to those of a couple of suspected bad guys. Her travails have garnered lots of media stories and the attention of law enforcement officials who promise to clear her. But Thomas says thanks to the government's inscrutable system of watch lists, she still gets stopped.
They are looking for a man. I am not a man. They're looking for a Caucasian man. I am not Caucasian. They're looking for a young man. I am not young.
When they're not annoying, government watch lists can be downright dangerous. Congressman Jim Turner of Texas points out that the CIA had placed two of the 9/11 hijackers on a terrorist watch list, but that information was not shared with other agencies, so the two slipped into the country.
If we'd had a truly integrated, effective terrorist watch list, the high likelihood is that two of the hijackers would have been identified and would have been deterred from their activities.
Turner wants to know exactly how the new terrorist screening center will address these problems, but so far the details of the operation remain secret. Jim Dempsey of the Center for Democracy and Technology says the FBI may be lying low because it hasn't figured out answers to some very tough questions, like,
what are the consequences that flow from the watch listing of a person?
The Bureau shares some of the information with the private sector. After 9/11, lists of suspicious persons were circulated and acquired a life of their own, creating trouble for the listees. But it's not clear how the Bureau can stop the watch list from turning into a blacklist. Dempsey says employers will feel they have a duty not to employ someone who's placed on a list.
However inaccurate or unreliable or limited that list may be, there's any opening to the private sector to that list, it will be used.
Dempsey says citizens currently have no clear legal redress for false information on these lists. It's intelligence and can't really be challenged. But former FBI official Matt Levitt says it's not hard to imagine ways to keep a lid on some watch list information.
What they could do is say if someone is listed because of purely classified information, then perhaps those names should not be made public. But if individuals were listed because of openly available or public source information, perhaps those names could be made public.
Levitt says there is clearly a tension when intelligence is gathered that could affect the lives of law-abiding citizens, but he says that tension should not stop the gathering of lists that have clearly proven very useful.
They have in the past prevented individuals who should not have been allowed into the country from entering the country. There are, of course, cases, 9/11 at the extreme, where they have failed. But just because something is not foolproof doesn't mean that you don't put in your best effort.
So there are some differing goals for the terrorist screening center from the outset. Intelligence officials want more efficiency for their anti-terror efforts. Privacy advocates hope it will introduce something else to the intelligence system, accountability. Larry Abramson, NPR News, Washington.